B62. Number 2A.
Yeah. Now, let us see what the implications are if we consider these last 3 or 4 thousand-year periods, so that we know what has to be changed in our consciousness. In other terms, we have to see that we are living in an age where a paradigm shift of greatest magnitude occurs. We would have lived in 1627, that would not have been the case. But as we are really approaching the 2000 AD, after the AD, yes, we must also feel that we are living in a very important period, and that it is a privilege, really, to live in such a period and to help to make that paradigm shift. If we wouldn't live in this century, but 300 years before, we would not have on us this big impact of really considering being and reality in a quite a different way. So, what are the implications? First of all, let's see that it is a paradigm shift. And a paradigm shift is not just something else or something further. It isn't really taking the old and just extrapolate it into the future where it becomes bigger and bigger. It's not, as we have seen, that molecules add and add and add and it becomes bigger and bigger, and therefore we can see how it becomes bigger as we go on and extrapolate that, but that there is a certain break where the molecules become a cell, something different. And that is always the difficulty for the human mind, to get away from 1,000-year-old traditional thinking and suddenly be asked to have to take on a different frame of consciousness. Now, what is really a paradigm shift? Perhaps we consider that term a little bit on page 114. 114. There you have paradigm. And let's quickly see what the paradigm means, so that we have a right concept of that term. Here we have first a worldview or model of understanding and model of consciousness. So a paradigm itself, not the shift, but the paradigm itself, is so to say a model of understanding. How we understand at a certain period or in a certain field of science the subject of that field. How we understand mathematics, how we understand chemistry at the present in the traditional classical sense, that's the paradigm. It's actually a model of excellence, we could also say. It's a model of excellence. It's that model which is so excellent that with it, really, you can tackle that whole field scientifically. Thomas Kuhn, you know, he is really the one who has coined this term paradigm shift mostly, and through him it has come into everyday language through his book, The Structure of Scientific Revolution. He defined paradigm as a universally recognized scientific achievement. See, it's universal, it's recognized, it's not discussed, it's not queried, it's accepted. It's a universally recognized scientific achievement that for a time, can you see now, nice, for a time, provides model problems and solutions. So it's again a model of problems and how to arrive at the solution to a community of practitioners, to a community of scientists who use that model. So you have perhaps in mechanics, you have your paradigms, and that paradigm in mechanics perhaps is already 300 years old. So certainly I would say since Newton or so, nothing much has changed. The principle of the lever, huh? Principle of lever. Oh, you say lever. Well, we still wonder how long it takes until the American learn English. Sorry. All right. That principle, you know, is as old as Newton and has never changed. And it's still today a paradigm which everybody uses that has to deal with it. Even if you go to the moon, it's the same principle. So there are these old paradigms that are so excellent that nothing has to be changed about it. So it's for a time, and we know today how very often in the scientific field there has been a change in that model. Just think of Einstein, that he suddenly saw that the paradigm, that Newton's paradigm, is not complete. That there is a completely different paradigm when you come to the theory of relativity. And in this way we have many, many paradigm shifts as never before in our century. And so it's no surprise that also in the spiritual and in the mental and in the psychological field we have a lot of paradigm shifts. All right. Now, let's take the next one, definition, also from Kuhn. A paradigm is some accepted examples of actual scientific practice. You see, it's an example of actual scientific practice. Every practitioner in a science uses the same model. Namely, examples which include law, they use the same law, the same theory, the same application, the same instrumentation, everything, the whole thing is the same. No matter if you go into the laboratory in America or in China or in Russia, it is the same. It's an absolutely accepted example of actual scientific practices. That's a paradigm. It's a model of excellence, as I usually call it, which says that model includes in an excellent way everything. The method you use, the theory you use, the instrumentation you use, the test you make and how you make the test, it's all prescribed, it's all set, and there is no question about it. So that one can see that if there is a shift, you see, that then everything changes. A paradigm shift gives a new model, and within that model, new laws, new practices, new theories, new instrumentation, new methods, new. And that's the important thing. It means what? Here comes in the crucial points where we usually fail. Namely, because the new paradigm is completely different from the old, they are not comparable. And we compare them. You see? There we make the mistake. Now, if you translate that into Christian Science, it means that if we see the new paradigm in Christian Science, that paradigm in the way of understanding, practice, demonstration, purpose, method can no more be compared with the old one and say it is better. It is not better, it's different. Or else you come into that struggle that you put the old and the new paradigm on one level, and then you can compare it. But they are like that. They are different, and therefore we cannot even say they are better, because they are different. They are, what we can say is that they are more adapted to the present age. But you can't compare them. You can't compare the theory of it, nor the practice of it, nor the demonstration of it, nor the results of it, nor the method of it, nor the aim of it. Nothing you can compare. So every comparison must fall. And that is something which is usually not done. We compare it and say, does it work better? Does it heal better? Is it more effective? It's all, is it more? And that's the wrong attitude. It's not more, it's different. It does, the new paradigm does not want to make the old paradigm more effective or better. Is that clear? It wants to have a different aim and method and instrumentation and everything. Yes? That must be clear. Yes?
New paradigm makes the old obsolete.
That's a good question. Now, does the new paradigm make the old obsolete? Again, it is more adapted to the necessities or exigencies of today. In that way we can say, yes, it's obsolete. Though, in the time past, it was the best. It was the best. So if we have that in mind, what really a paradigm shift means, and keep that in mind, and just think it over again for yourself, so that we don't fall back anymore in the future, that we compare the science of Christian Science with Church Christian Science or the old metaphysical Christian Science or anything like that. We don't compare it. We just say the present age demands a paradigm shift, and that is concerned with completely different things. Yes? Now, what are the completely different things? That's now another question. So, let's go through the implication of this last few, say, 5th, 6th, 7th thousand-year period, and say, well, we have seen now, in one way, how reality is related to the symbolization of that reality. Now, what are the consequences for us, the practical consequences for us? We take and stay in the same category of the thousand-year period. And we take the aspect, let's say, perhaps as the very first one, of Bible interpretation. Does a paradigm shift change the interpretation of the Bible? That's the question. Now,
would you ask that question again?
Now, a implication of the paradigm shift in the way of understanding reality has its impact in regard to how to interpret the Bible. Because the Bible presents in its symbolism the divine being. Now, do we read and interpret the Bible differently according to the 1,000-year period in which we are in? See? So, if we take, for instance, the 4,000-year period, which we have seen is that period of metaphysics, how do we then interpret the Bible? What is our method in the 4,000-year period? We said in the 4,000-year period, we begin to see that behind the phenomena are spiritual ideas. Didn't we say that?
Yeah.
So that we read the Bible and interpret the Bible in the same method. By saying, I read the Bible that talk about images and symbolism and so on, of daily life, of historical life, of natural life, whatever it is, just think of the prophetic age. And we say, well, these are symbols, that is not reality, therefore Bible interpretation must, therefore, translate the biblical language into metaphysical language. Isn't that logic? Huh? Now it doesn't seem logic according to your faces. All right, I must make your faces be happy. Huh? Can you see how scientific reasoning is? See, I made a very simple scientific reasoning, but you have difficulty, and it shows that this must be trained. You must begin to reason scientifically. We have said that in the 4,000-year period, the prophetic age, the relationship between reality and symbolization is that the prophets were always telling that behind the phenomena were ideas, meaning that the phenomena were only the shadow world of an ideational world, like Plato, he lived in that period. So that, so that they began to see, as he said, that the physical universe is not the universe of reality, but it's the shadow world, that the material world is a shadow world, and therefore Aristotle came and said there must be a metaphysics, something behind or above physics, huh? And that's metaphysics. Therefore, if we interpret the Bible, we must use the same method. Is that not logic? Therefore, the method is to take the phenomena symbols and translate them into metaphysical ideas. Yes? Well, that we have done ages and ages. That's something we are accustomed, right from the church, that what the glossary is mostly about, that it shows and translates really biblical terms, like Jacob and Noah, the ark and so on, into metaphysical ideas. That is typical for the 4,000-year period. Now, don't be shocked, we live in the 6,000 or 7,000-year period. And if we believe that this biblical interpretation is the best, the optimum, and we are absolutely mistaken. Yes? Yeah? Can you tell me the reason?
Yes. Sure.
Can you tell me the reason? Somebody else, so that the others have also a chance to talk.
We're not in that period anymore.
Somewhere in that period, huh? Because we are not in the period of metaphysics, of exchanging things for thoughts. Huh? We are not in that period. We have seen that we are in the period of science. Therefore, if we use that method of reading the Bible and translating biblical terms only, I say only, in ideas, we live in the 4,000-year period. Not today. We don't live today. We live in old hat. Yeah? Now you can see that that is the method that is mostly used. Isn't that terrific? Isn't that earth-shaking for us? That we live with the nomads. Huh? Isn't it awful? Huh? That is. Mm-hmm. It's really awful. Beautiful, yes. That we begin to see that this is not really Bible interpretation for today. Yes? We go further with the Bible interpretation and go to the 5,000-year period. Now, can you stick with the category? Stick with the category. What was the category of the 5,000-year period, which said what? That Jesus, an idea, is one. Or that actually, corporeal man, an idea, one. Jesus said, as a man with two legs and two arms and with a heart and a liver and I don't know what within the skin, I'm the Christ. I'm Jesus, but I'm the Christ. So he made a step forward and said, I am not the body, though I have a body, I am the Christ. Therefore, within the 5,000-year period, you begin to read the Bible differently, or interpret the Bible differently. What will be the different interpretation of the same text? Same text. Instead of seeing what Noah symbolizes as idea, you say, I am Noah. Instead of seeing what Abraham symbolizes as idea, you say, I am Abraham. When you see that idea and identify yourself with that idea. Can you see? And so the whole Bible, with the same text as before, is interpreted differently. So we have the same text, but different interpretation or different method of using the text for understanding reality. So it's a big step forward. Instead of saying, well, Noah lived, how much, 5,000-6,000 years ago, and saying, I am Noah, and bring it right into the present, into 5,000-year period. Yes? So, at that moment, I read the Bible differently. And I see in the Bible, me. The character and the happenings and everything becomes me. I'm the Christ. I'm the idea. And this is, I think, for the first time that has been voiced by John Dolly, as far as I know. He suddenly began to see when he was interpreting the Bible that he was saying, well, Noah is me. Abraham is me. All these happenings, Jacob and Esau is me. The Judas is me. Is in me. It's not somewhere else. It's not the historical figure. And it took it right out of the historical frame of reference into a symbolization of an idea. And said, I'm going through that whole experience too. I can be at one time the Peter, and at one time the Judas, and at one time John, and at one time I can be Noah, and Abraham, and Jacob, and Esau, and so on, and so on, and so on. I can go even into captivity, and I can come back from captivity. I can build the temple after captivity, and I can build it with tiled houses, or I can, they say tiled houses in Haggai? Yeah.
Sealed.
Sealed. Uh-huh. Or I can build the temple. It's up to me. If I want to build sealed houses or a temple, that's up to me. See, he began to see that this whole Bible is our biography. That's the 5,000-year period. And whoever remains there is outdated. He's not living today. Can you see something else? Can you see that we can say, yo, we are the chosen people. We live at the end of the 6,000-year period. You know, we are the chosen one. Are we? If we have that consciousness which always thinks in the 4th and 5,000-year period, we are not. So, time-wise, we can live in this age, and consciousness-wise, we live in the 4th or 5,000-year period. Do we want that? Do we want to go back to that? Do you want to be satisfied with that? I think it's quite all right to think it over, what it means, and to think it through, what it means. But for heaven's sake, don't stay there. For heaven's sake, get out of it. How can we help the world when we live in the world of the ancient days? We can't.